Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday Tips for Parents of Teens here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. And today I've got my lovely, lovely guest. And today we have Dr. Brian Rees. Dr. Brian is a father of three lovely, I couldn't stop, you know, I couldn't help but read that over and over again. You're a husband and you have three daughters and so but I'll leave you to tell that a bit more. But what I'm most excited about today is the information that I believe that we are going to glean from Dr. Rees, right? So I'm going to be listening more today, right? And as Dr. Rees explains a fundamental and productive method to communicate with our kids so that we can parent successfully, right? So Dr. Rees says he's a native Northern Texan man. And yes, he's going to explain to us a little bit more about ourselves, because you guys know we interweave the conversations as we get to know the person plus the information. So Dr. Rees, you are so welcome today. And actually, my daughter said to me, "Mommy, you always forget to introduce yourself. You assume that everyone knows that it could be the first one. And I'm learning to do it, you know? So my name is Angela Karanja, and I am the founder of Raising Remarkable Teenagers. I am an adolescent psychologist, but above all, I'm your friend. And I love to chat with parents of teens so that together we can talk about information that we can implement so that we can raise highly effective teenagers without losing our minds. But today, let's speak to Dr. Rees. Dr. Rees, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. You sound great for being snotty. Sound great.
Yeah, good. Yeah, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I am very good. And I'm sure a lot of our audiences are good. I can see some messages coming in saying, welcome, welcome. Yes, we are welcoming our guest and we are excited to be here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, because I don't think I did you justice with my introduction.
Oh, yeah, I grew up in a suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth in the 70s and 80s. Then I went to college for about 3 years. Then during my third year, I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. However, this is kind of a funny story. So I'd been singing in a rock band since I was in high school. Well, every weekend during my junior year at Baylor, I was coming home to either rehearse or to play. And so finally, the guys in the band, we decided, you know what, let's try to make it. So I remember having a conversation with my mom saying, "Hey, Mom, I'm not going back for my senior year. The band's going to try to make it. But I promise if I don't make it, then I'll go back to college by the time I'm 30. Well, clearly the band didn't make it, even though we had a great time. And it was a super fun time in my 20s. But anyway, so that's what put me back in school. And then I've probably been in private practice for about 15 years now. And I probably see about 50 kids a week, something like that.
Wow. So you guys, this is so exciting, because what we have here is someone who's got research, you know, like research. You know, what I usually say is when we've got raw information from the source, right, which is so helpful, because the more we listen to our kids, the more we know their hearts, the more we know what they're thinking. And that's what informs us, right? So what I want to ask you, I know everyone's beaming asking, what are you going to ask him about intentional parenting? Because it's usually the first question we ask our audience. Now, you tell me, what is your view on intentional parenting, Dr. Rees?
Well, so here's kind of what happened. After a few years of being in private practice, I was, you know, whether I was treating kids for anxiety or depression or ADHD, or if they were having some kind of a substance abuse, or they were having, you know, or they were just kind of quirky or sort of odd kids, or kids didn't get it. One thing I really realized was how much influence the parents had over the child in all dimensions. And so I began to realize that, you know, the more effective we're able to communicate with our kids and the more receptive they are to our what we're trying to convey to them, the better the relationship's going to be and the more agreeable and compliant, or whatever you want to call it, the kid's going to be, and the happier it is, the happier that person is. So something else I wrote in my book was, you know, and maybe if some of y'all read my book, that's great. And I might say some things that you've read in the book, but, you know, whether kids have been on the planet for 5 or 15 years, that's just not very long. And so again, regardless of whatever the issue was, I realized that so much of it has to do with, you know, just kind of the fundamental basics of good parenting, which means connecting with your kid in an effective way to where, you know, the most important thing is for your kid to be receptive to what your parent, to what you're communicating. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to handcraft and answer every question and every issue that came up in this office. But one thing I did realize there's a fundamentalness to parenting that tends to be really effective regardless of what the kids like or regardless of what the parents like. So I started refining that about 10 years ago to where I came up with pretty much a parenting strategy or formula or system, whatever you want to call it. And I call it the Tri-C parenting. And the 3 C's, I know I'm talking a lot right now, but the 3 C's stand for, you know, communicate with your kid in a clear way and have clear expectations for your child, you know, instill as much confidence in your kid as possible. And then Tri-C is a complete parenting system, which means you're going to have to fulfill your parenting duties every day, every month, every year for 18 years. So did that answer your question?
Wow. Yes. That's it's so interesting because every week we have guests and they come, and what we believe here is in expanding. We believe in expansion, right? So
right.
What you have literally added onto what I'm sure the community already knows. And then when you mentioned about the 3 C's, I want you to expand a little bit on that so that, and I'll tell you why, yeah? But I want you to expand when you mentioned the 3 C's, like repeat what these are and just expand a little bit. Because I'm going to be asking my community to practice this because we believe in taking action, right? Because right. Without action, information is just information. And for us to experience transformation, we've got to take action on the information. So if you can just give us those 3 C's again, because I'm going to be asking all you guys to practice that and then feedback to us about this, right? So, Dr. Reese, can you do that for us again, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first C stands for clear. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is look at your kid through a clear lens so your expectations for your child are accurate. Because whenever we have unrealistic expectations for somebody, all that does is cause disappointment and frustration. And we don't want to convey a lot of disappointment and frustration to our kiddo. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much I'm going to lower my expectations for my child, but, and something else I always tell parents, listen, whether your kid is 7 or 17 years old, what we're tasked to do is we're tasked to be responsible parents. Okay. Which means I'm going to create realistic expectations for my child. So if my kid is 10, you know, here's the expectations. Here's the reasonable expectations I'm going to have for my 10-year-old. Boom, 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 boom. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit back and my kid is going to demonstrate to me whether they're going to be able to meet these expectations or not. So it's not so much, you know, some kids are, and something else that I talk about a lot in the book, you know, we're hardwired to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm trying to break this down to a pretty fundamental level. So it helps any parent understand the system so they can effectively implement it. But a lot of it is going to be, you know, as the parent, recalibrating your thinking of how you want to see your child or communicate with your child and understand, you know, the powerful influence you have on your kid. So some kids are naturally hardwired to be easygoing and compliant and agreeable and empathic. I mean, they get it. You know, they get the big, they know what's being communicated to them. You know, they understand it's in their best interest to do the things that their parents say. They're not in the business over the apple cart, you know. And we can kind of parent those kids however we want to, and they're going to mind us. They may not like us, but they're going to mind. However, on the other side of the continuum, we've got kids that are hardwired to be a little bit more stubborn or hard-headed or strong-willed, or they want their way, and maybe they don't always understand exactly what's being communicated to them. And the most important thing for them is to be right and to get what they want. Well, those kids tend to be a little bit more challenging to parent effectively, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, that first C is I'm going to look at my kid through a clear lens. And, you know, I didn't get to decide how my child is engineered. My kid's either going to be more naturally compliant, or my kid is going to be either naturally more stubborn or hard-headed, and all kids fall somewhere on this continuum. Well, if my kid tends to be a little bit more strong-willed, and let me say this, something else I say in the book, I don't know if there would be any parenting books or parenting strategies or parenting groups or blogs or podcasts or whatever if every kid just mechanically minded. You know, if every kid did what parents say, then we wouldn't have any problems. But, you know, but that's not the case. So here we are, right, doing our job. So I always tell parents, create reasonable expectations for your kid, because almost all kids know the difference between right, wrong, good, bad, fair, and reasonable, unreasonable. So I always have kids in here. Like, let's say I've got a 13-year-old in here, and I say, hey, your parents are just trying to be responsible parents, right? And 13-year-old will go, yeah. And I'll say, okay, would you say for, let's say it's a 13-year-old guy, I'll say, hey, for a 13-year-old guy, would you say that your parents' expectations for you are reasonable and fair? Mm-hmm. And the kid, yeah. And I'll say, okay, and let's say I had a magic wand, poof, and all of a sudden you magically decided that you were going to consistently meet your parents' reasonable expectations for you. Would there be any problems? And the kid always goes, no. So I say, okay, well, what can we do? Because a lot of times what parents want and what kids want aren't always the same things. And we know that. So there's going to be a lot of natural built-in conflict. But again, I go back to, you know, the easygoing personality, naturally compliant, agreeable kid. You know, occasionally they'll do things to, you know, push the envelope or test boundaries, which is super normal. But then you kind of check them for their behavior, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. However, if I've got a strong-willed kid, what happens is, you know, my strong-willed kid messes up or isn't compliant or is uncooperative or disagreeable. Well, as a parent, that starts to make me upset. Well, then when I get upset and frustrated with my kid, then my kid gets super defensive, right? And then down we go. So the first C is communicating clear expectations with your child, right? Mm-hmm. And then again, I'm not going to change my expectations for my kid, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to recognize my child's natural ability to be agreeable to meeting those expectations or not. So that's the first C.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that clear, you know, have clear expectations. So guys, it's really having those, be very clear what you're expecting, and also communicate with them so they are feeding back to you whether they believe that is reasonable or not. And it's, I think, also it's about having those conversations. And sometimes as parents, I think we are afraid, or sometimes we underestimate our kids' ability to self-evaluate and also to self-evaluate situations. They are capable of knowing when we are believing so low for them or believing too high for them. Of course, our job is to help them rise higher, but without breaking them. Because again, you can't expect a nursery 5-year-old to be doing what a 15-year-old. There's things that we need to be reasonable and at the same time not disabling our children in any way. So I love that, clear. And our second C, what is that?
Well, you just kind of alluded to that. So it's about instilling confidence. And, you know, our child is to lift our kid up, you know, not tear that child down. So if, you know, that's my primary job. And something else that we know is, you know, confident people enjoy life more than anybody else. And so something I always say to parents, you know, we've got 18 years to help your kid connect as many dots as possible and then believe in him or herself as much as possible. And so much of how that turns out is going to be based on, you know, how I'm going to interact with my kids. And so, you know, kids are like a piece of clay and the parent is the sculptor, right? And so I'm going to be accepting of the piece of clay that I have, but my job is not to try to shape that clay in a way that it's not able to be shaped. So really what I'm going to do is I'm going to recognize what my kids' natural strengths and interests are. And, you know, it's not about me, you know, it's not about the parent. Everything now is about my kid, but not in an enabling way, in an empowering way. So I'm going to recognize what my kids' strengths and interests are. And I'm going to really try to start build those. Because as you know, especially from your job, as you know, we can let our strengths and interests define us, or we can let the, you know, the things about ourselves that we don't like very much define us. And we have a lot of power in what we're going to put our focus and energy and attention into. So as a parent, if I'm constantly lifting my kid up while, you know, being able to make sure that my kid is meeting all of these reasonable expectations, and that's really kind of a win-win. You know, it feels good to be able to blend when we're kids. It feels good to learn how to blend our worlds and meeting real world's expectation. That creates a lot of confidence too, because we know that, you know, home's just kind of a microcosm of society. So if my kid is able to meet, you know, all those normal expectations at home, even though the child doesn't want to, you know, and get okay with that, that's going to build some confidence. But also too, you know, if I've got a non-athletic kid, I'm not expecting my kid to be, you know, the starter on the football or the baseball team or at the, you know, gym or whatever it is. And if my kid's not sporting 140 IQ, then my kid's probably not going to make National Honor Society and take all pre-AP and AP classes. So, you know, I don't want my kid to be something that kid's not. But what I am going to do is I'm going to see what their natural strengths and abilities are. And those are the things I'm going to massage and help build up for my child.
Oh, beautiful. I love the way you say it, because over here, for those of us who've been in this community for any length of time, you know, I consider parents as leaders. And I like the way Dr. Reese, you put it. We are molding them into whatever that they are supposed to be. We are massaging them. And as leaders, what we say is our kids, we rise to the level that we believe in them. Our kids, we rise to the level that we believe in them. So we wanna believe high for them. We wanna believe the good, whatever is good, whatever is of hope. That is what we want to call, we want to call them to, you know, there is a poem I like. It says that there's every blade of grass is different. And there is a voice that's always talking to every, saying, grow, grow, grow. And as leaders, I think that is what we should be doing, calling them higher, calling them to grow, right? Just like the light, because if you're the light, like the sun, everything gravitates towards the sun. Doesn't come down and force anything to do anything. But because of its brightness, because of its consistency, because of its warmth, it calls things to grow, to rise, to go higher. And that's what I say as leaders, as parents. That's what we are. You gave that analogy of molding beautifully. So give us our third C. Come on, guys. I'm really enjoying this, you know.
The third C stands for complete. And what I mean by that is parenting is a long game, okay? Mm-hmm. 15 years. And we are tasked to raise our kids constructively. And what I mean constructively, I mean, you can say successfully, you can say with investment, you can say with love, you can say appropriately, whatever you want to call it. I like to say constructively. Mm-hmm. But we are tasked to, you know, it's an investment. So we're tasked to raise our kids constructively for 18 years. And that means, and it's a task, right? But it's every hour, every day, every month, and every year. And so again, you know, it's when we decided to have kids, it's not about us anymore. Now it's about my child. So I always tell parents, you know, it's always, especially when you're in the presence of your kid, doesn't matter if your kid's 5 or 15, when you're in the presence of your child, you know, what's always looping through the parent's head is, you know, what does my child need from me right now? What does my child appropriately need from me? And so I always say the two primary parental tasks are to appropriately protect your child until, you know, we have to have our kids back until they turn 18. Mm-hmm. And then also two, to appropriately develop your child. Well, the way that you're going to be able to appropriately, constructively develop your kid is you've got to have credibility with that child. That child has to respect you. Okay. Well, the better my relationship is with someone, the more credibility and respect I'm going to have with that person. So I always like to say, you know, we're kind of like the boss. Okay, you know, parents are the boss and the kid is the employee, right? Well, we've probably all worked for bosses that we could not stand, but we've also hopefully worked for bosses that we very much like. Now, we're not going out and having drinks after work, but because of the nice boss who treats me with so much dignity and respect, you know, I want to work for that person. I'll come in early, I'll stay late, I'll do whatever you say, because I understand that person doesn't have to show me respect and dignity, but chooses to, which means I like that person. That person has credibility and respect with me. So, you know, I'm going to be a whole lot more receptive to what my boss wants from me versus the boss who is critical or shaming or dismissive or disrespectful or whatever. You know, the only reason I'm working for that person is because I need a paycheck, right? So I don't care what that boss is. I don't care how that boss feels. I don't care what that boss wants. I'm just showing up because I have to. Well, it's the same concept for parenting. So, you know, this is something that makes parenting so much easier. You know, if you can establish a good relationship with your kiddo, then that's going to make parenting 5,000 times easier, because even your hard-headed kid is going to like you and then be so much more open to whatever it is, meeting these expectations again, right? So we just kind of go back to that. So that's what complete means. You know, I'm not going to inundate parents. You know, I wrote this book and I think it's only about 130 pages long. And there are some terrific parenting books and there's some terrible ones as well. But, you know, I was like, I'm not going to, you know, I can't take every parent, every kid and answer every issue or problem that you're going to have. But if you can parent at the successful fundamental level, then you can put your own customization on, you know, however, whatever kind of personality you got or whatever kind of personality your kid has. But it always boils down to, I've got to have the best relationship with my kid as I can, and then appropriately protect and appropriately develop my kid for the first 18 years. Then we're going to be buddies after you turn 18 and graduate from high school. Then there is no more parenting. Now I'm just like, you know, the appropriate pillar of support and love and wisdom and experience that you're going to need from me.
Wow. One of the things I've loved what you said is, again, as a leader, you talked about credibility. And I like to say that we want to be so credible. We want to be so credible to our kids that they actually want to listen to us.
Bingo.
Because without credibility, the kids can see. They don't believe you. They don't trust you. They might do what you want them to do, and which is what you and I know we call blind obedience. But then they get to a point where I don't have to obey anymore, so I can do whatever I like. But if this relationship was based on credibility, because they actually know that you, first of all, you know what you're talking about, you know, and also you actually care, right? You care about them, not about us, right? But about them, then that credibility goes higher. Again, as a leader, we ought to, and that's why some of these, the platform, like for example, I say it takes a village to raise a kid, right? This is the village. This conversation that we're having with you and everyone that's listening, this is the village, because it's about acquiring knowledge. What works? What's working? What is relevant for today? And that is what this is about. I am so, so delighted. Now, I wanted to ask you something, right? One of the things that stops us from being effective parents are some of the beliefs. And some of them are quite deadly, some of the beliefs that we have and hold as parents. Have you, in your work, do you come across some of these beliefs that are quite detrimental to the way we relate with our kids? Would you share with us some if you've come?
Yeah, what are you talking about specifically?
I'm talking about beliefs like you and I know that beliefs, whatever we believe, drives us, right? For example, we like to burst beliefs here, right? I'll give you an example. There is a line of thought that you've got to be cruel to be kind. And you see parents being so cruel, yeah, to their kids and expecting kindness. I mean, obviously, when you look at it rationally, it doesn't make sense. But many parents will argue for that. I've got to punish you. I've got to make it hard for you. And this is what's going to make you a good person. It's those kind of beliefs. Or things like this is how I was parented. It was tough for me. And I didn't die or nothing happened to me. And, you know, it's those kind of beliefs that some of us who are parented like that we actually have to dismantle, because we find ourselves, because of this of conditioning, passing it on to our kids and it harms them. So those are the kind of beliefs I would like, if you come across any, not maybe you haven't got parents who have trauma in that.
Right. So there's an old saying here, and I don't know if you guys have it over there, but that old saying is, as you know, I talked about the mental recalibration for a parent. That old saying is, I say jump and you say how high. What part of that do you not get? So that's just that powerful parent getting frustrated with that kid and expecting that kid, there's your blind obedience, right? Mm-hmm. Just whatever it is that the parent asks. And so, yeah, maybe that can work. You know, maybe it does. But, you know, my point to parents is, okay, so your kid's terrified of you. And I always say, parents, hey, man, this isn't about your kid being afraid of you. Now, this is about your kid being afraid of the consequences that you can impose on your child. But it's not. Now we kind of go back to the relationship part. So, you know, if I say jump, you say how high. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, and then I'm like, well, you know, then I can ask, even though I probably don't, you know, why'd you choose to have kids in the first place? Isn't it all about, I want to have this offspring so I can have this amazing relationship with these young people and help, you know, build up these young people. You know, this is my child, and, you know, get my kid to enjoy their lives and do all those things. So I think parents get so caught up in their frustration with their kids. And there's not probably a bigger or more negative or powerful word than that. And so, but now we go back to, again, I've got kids that are more naturally agreeable, and I've got kids that happen to be more naturally defiant. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now I'm going to go back to the first C, which is I need to look at my kid through a clear lens. And I need to understand, you know, how my kid is hardwired or manufactured. So does my kid tend to be naturally less empathic or stubborn or whatever you want to call it? Okay, that's fine. I didn't get to decide that. But, you know, my whole point of raising my kid is to raise my kid constructively, which means I'm going to have to look at my kid a little bit differently, and I'm going to have to communicate with my kid in a more effective way. So that's so much of what the system is, you know, how do we, you know, I think maybe what you're trying to ask is, you know, generally or globally, you know, as mental health professionals, how can we get parents to not take what their kids say or do personally? How can we get parents to make it about the kid and what the kid needs instead of the parent? And then how can we get parents to look at their kids clearly and minimize their frustration? So again, we're back to the relationship part. How can the kid, that's going to make the kid be more open to whatever it is the parent's going to communicate.
Absolutely. So what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing you say is that we keep coming back to these three fundamental C's, and it's so endearing to me, because this becomes, if we can hold on to these three C's, then as parents, I remember at one point you said, this is a continuous task. And I say to parents, and I have to remind myself, because I'm a parent as well, It's like breathing. Relationship is like breathing. I can't say, oh, I breathed yesterday 60 times. I don't know how many times. So today I'm gonna take a break. No, you don't take a break from breathing. It's a continuous thing. It's a continuous thing. And I'm glad that we keep coming back to these three C's. We keep coming back to three C's. So if we can imbue that confidence so that our young people actually trust us and they feel safe with us, right? And also so that we feel complete, as you know, we are credible leaders, then this enhances this relationship with our young people. And this, and you and I know that connection with parents still remains one of the very fundamental needs for our young people. Whether they show it, whether they snarl at us or shout at us and all that, innately, there is that need for connection. And now, because our young people haven't got the strength to regulate all of the time, we as parents should be leading the way. They can't be going all over the place and then we are collapsing and going all over the place. Who's going to lead who, you know? So I'm excited that you talked about that, you know?
Hmm? Yeah, that's exactly right. So again, it kind of goes back to that. Again, if kids did everything that parents said, then there wouldn't be any disappointment. There wouldn't be any frustration. We wouldn't communicate with our kids harshly. You know, if our 12-year-olds had the maturity of a 22-year-old and, you know, just got it. And, but, you know, that's just not the case, man. It's just not. And so again, it's like, and this is a, you know, everything's a progress, right? Everything substantial or significant in life, you know, falls into, it's a process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking that your kid is going to magically change overnight is not realistic. And, you know, parents will come in here and, you know, we'll kind of start talking about this and, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think that's great. I'm going to implement it. And so I say, okay, well, you know, start working on this. It's going to take a little while. You know, and then they come back a couple weeks later. I'm like, hey, so how's it going? Are things going better? And either they are or they're not. And the reason if they're not going better is because, you know, the parent kind of went back to those old habits of being and demanding and getting frustrated and taking things personally. Well, then the kid gets defensive. And then when we get defensive, we can't think reasonably. And I'm in the business of trying to help my kid learn to be self-responsible and create solutions and fix problems and, you know, stay in the logical part of their brain instead of going back to that old limbic system, right? That fight or flight where you can't be reasonable. So, you know, anytime my kid is, again, if my kid's choosing to not meet an expectation, then the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to explore why. Hey, super reasonable and fair this is a very reasonable and fair, you know, requirement I've got for you. What's going on? Why are you choosing not to meet this? And so just by opening up a conversation means, hey, this is not okay. The fact that I'm even bringing this up with you means we're going to have to address this. You're not getting away with whatever this is. I always tell parents too, you know, kids will get away with whatever they think they can until they realize they can't anymore. That's okay. Right. Normal, that's not going to make me mad. I'm going to expect it. I'm not going to flip out or go crazy. I'm not going to sit there and lecture and argue and do all those things because I don't have to. Okay. So I tell parents, once you consistently, and as you know, probably one of the hardest things about good parenting is being consistent. And that's where parents fall apart. They'll start talking about, oh yeah, we do some of those things, but then we don't follow through. Or yeah, we tried that. And then I blew up and got mad again, blah, 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 blah. But once they start consistently and dedicate themselves to meeting this parenting system, then things exponentially start getting better because now I'm in the process and now my kid's getting more agreeable. Well, hey, the more agreeable and cooperative my kid is, the easier it is to parent my kid. And all of a sudden now we're in this positive loop of communicating and meeting expectations instead of this negative loop of defiance and I hate you. And it's, you know, kid versus mom and dad.
That's right. And also what also I'm hearing you say, Dr. Reese, is which is really profound, and it's something that as parents we need to know, is that of course you've heard about these three C's. Now, this is not a time to think, oh my God, I've messed it up, that's the end of me. No, that's not. It's as I always say, when we have these conversations, it's not about blame or shame or guilt. That's not what it's about. It's about being able to identify, oopsie, I'm not doing this. Oopsie, I'm not doing this. And then determining, if something is going to change, I'm going to have to change how I do things. But then also recognizing that change takes time so that you're not beating yourself to death because things didn't work overnight. Your own kid was not born and they started walking. It took time. And that's what growth does. It takes time. And we also know habits take time. If we've been going downhill all our lives, and then you hear Dr. Ricia and Angela talking about this, and you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start going uphill now. Remember, going uphill will require mental determination. You'll require the mental muscles. And how do you get that? By practicing and practicing and practicing. And that's where consistency comes in. And during those consistency, I want you to remember when your kid was learning to walk. You didn't say when they fell over, you didn't say, oh, that's it. You are not meant to walk. That's the end of you. Let's just wash our hands and this walking thing is not for you. That's not what you said. You believed in them. You knew that one day they would walk. And I want us to bring that belief in ourselves to know that, yes, as a parent, I can be a confidence builder. For my kid, I can be the one that's credible. I can be the one that's complete. I can be the one that's practicing all these threes and modeling to my kid. And when we drop the ball, it's okay to say, oops, I messed it up. And it's okay. My, you guys know my daughter, you know, she knows she's probably listening from somewhere as we speak because she's probably waiting to catch me on something. Because she says to me, oh, mom, you're the one that says to parents they need to be consistent. So what are you doing now, right? And sometimes,
you told you.
And absolutely, and sometimes she'll say, you're the one that says to parents they shouldn't be shouting. Why are you shouting at me? And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, we need to be, as parents, we need to know that we are human as well. It's not... We're not superhuman. We're not anything that's not like our kids. So it's okay for us to drop the ball sometimes. What I usually say, it's not okay for you just because you've dropped the ball. Now you sit down and then it's a poor me party thing. This thing is not meant for me. That's not who we are. We are meant to grow. Yes, there will be some falling and dropping, but when we are focused, and especially like today, we've learned these three strategies. Ask yourself in every minute at this point, what I'm doing this minute, am I practicing being a credible parent? What I'm saying, how I'm behaving, am I imbuing credibility to my kid? It's constant reflection. Again, I say parenting is a constant reflection because there are people around you who are looking up and think, oh, I can see what you're doing. I can see what you're doing. And I can tell what you're saying and what you're doing doesn't tally, right? So we've got them looking at us, right? And we want to be great leaders who are credible. So I'm excited about what you're talking about. And what I would love for us to talk about, which is something that a lot of people don't talk about, is self-care as parents. We are very good. I mean, a lot of us even say, there's a saying again, oh, I would die for my kids, right? And what I say to parents who tell me that, what about you live for your kids? Yeah? Don't die for them. Your kids don't need you dead. They need you to be alive. They need you to step up. They need you to be following your dreams. They need to see that you're full of life. So share with us some sort of self-care, you know, and it can be psychological self-care, because we talk about, it's not bubbles and soap, as you know, it's not just bubble and soap or going for coffee. It is part of it, but it's not everything. So share with us some sort of self-care. How can we become these credible parents, these credible leaders, these grounded leaders, these believable leaders?
Well, and as you know, there's an old saying in our industry, right, that kids are as healthy as their parents.
Mm.
Well, you know, it's a simple concept to be able to take care of ourselves, but it's just really hard to execute, you know, especially depending on whatever it is that's going on in your life. So, yes, it's so important. You know, we probably can't express how critical it is for you to be able to find some kind of balance of taking care of yourself as well as you're taking care of your kiddos. And so, you know, I think it's about, you know, trying to find time to do some personal things, whether it's date nights or whether it's find some good babysitters that you like, or whether it's relatives that you can let your kiddos sleep over at, or camps or programs or whatever it might be. You know, just being able to take, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard to take care of ourselves, especially when our kids are little, you know, before they become 6 or 7 or 8 years old, when they're just so needy. So that's probably the hardest part. But then, you know, as we know, as our kids get up into 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, they start something else about teenagers. You know, it's so funny. It's like something else I mentioned in the Tri-C book is, you know, I've got this amazing relationship with my kid, but then my kid turns about 12 or 13 and now my kid doesn't want to have anything to do with me. What happened? But, you know, also saying that's very natural. So, yeah, we probably can't oversell the importance of doing everything that you can do to find the balance between taking care of yourself and as well at the same time, you know, the better you're able to take care of you, the better job you're going to be taking care of your child. So, whatever that looks like, whatever you need to do to take some time for yourself, then that's just crazy important. It just is.
Absolutely. And what I usually say is some parents will say, oh, self-care is expensive. And I say some of the self-care activities that I personally do, they cost nothing. They cost nothing apart from focus. It's me getting up maybe before everyone else gets up and just having my quiet moments, my quiet gratitude moments. And I know my partner, what he does, he goes out to golf. He'll get up in the morning early and then he'll go to golf. He's all by himself early before anyone else, you know, and that's his time. In fact, he even on Sundays he'll go, oh, that's my church, right? And that's his time, and it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to cost as much, even for some parents. I mean, it's so interesting because I have a short program I share with parents, and it's my me moment, and it could be just 5 minutes of quietness in the bathroom. You know, just decide that no one's going to bother you in the bathroom, but we have to be intentional about this. We have to be intentional. We have to know that this is important for us. It could be even, you know, it's things that don't even cost us things, you know, like recently I started practicing fasting. You know, it could be even something like that. I'm not going to eat for a certain amount of time. And what am I doing at that time? I'm just free, or at that time, you know, these self-care indulgements, they don't have to cost us anything. It could be even 5 minutes of just breathing in and out. What does that cost? It doesn't cost anything, but it does a well good for our own mind. So guys, I am feeling excited about this whole this whole thing. So I want you to speak to us about this. I know we keep coming back to to these three C's, right? And I want you to tell us a little bit more about your book and where we can grab it from and any other programs that you have, because you and I know that just one conversation doesn't change stuff. When it comes to behavior change, and when we mean behavior, we're not saying that you're a bad person. We're saying behavior. Behavior is how we act, right? For, you know, it means I'm wanting to shift from doing things in one way and shifting to a different way. And it takes work. So it's not a one day thing. You know, it's not an, oh, this is, there's no miracle. There's no magic. We don't do magic miracles here, right? And we know, I don't know, let me not even say we know that it can happen. We know it can happen in some religious sectors and all that, but that's not what we are offering here. What we are offering here is transformation, and transformation takes time, because again, for those of you who have been in this community for any length of time, you know we talk about the shifting and the growth of our neurons, our mind, because it's our minds, they're like roots, they're like trees. So think about that. If you want to uproot one thing so that you can grow a healthier tree, what do? You have to start putting energy and focus onto the things that you want to grow. So it requires time and focus, time and focus. So talk to us about other programs or other, how we can get a hold of this book, you know?
So I published it late last year, and it's called Tri-C Parenting. It's available on Amazon, but also too, I think we just got it to where we're going to start being able to have it in bookstores and some of the bigger bookstores and some of the online bookstores. So right now I know it's available on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime, so you can get it within a day or two if you order it. And that's funny that you mentioned other programs. You know, I had parents come in here and they're like, do you have a book? Do you have something online? How can we, you know, how can we work on this or reference it at home? Mm-hmm. So I finally came up and wrote the book, and I got it. Just in all honesty, it took me about 4 years to write this thing, because I knew it was going to be short, but it had to be, if it was going to be, you know, if I wasn't just going to inundate parents with all this information, then everything, if you're going to write a brief manual, then everything in there you need to be really careful about exactly the phrases and concepts and words you use. So I'm happy with it. I think it's doing good. And it's funny that you mentioned that. Starting on August 1st, I'm going to launch a video series on YouTube and probably TikTok, whatever. So I'm going to launch a video series of Tri-C Parenting. So wow. I'm probably 2 episodes a week starting August 1st. And that's just going to go as long as it needs to go. You know, and we'll talk a lot about this parenting strategy, but, you know, because I'm a clinician, I'm also going to talk about kids that are struggling with anxiety or depression or ADHD or whatever. So that starts August 1st, and I know we're going to put it on YouTube, so parents can subscribe to that, and I'll probably put it on TikTok and maybe Instagram and some of those other social media outlets.
Okay, so on social media, how do we find you? How do we find you? Do you find you by your name or Tri-C? How do we find you?
Yeah, I think on social media, you know, I've got a, you know, my clinical website is just drbrianreese.com. Mm-hmm. But then my Tri-C website is called tricparenting.com. And you can also order the book on there and go to the videos. But, you know, whenever you go to YouTube and you're looking up parenting, or you're looking up Dr. Brian Reese, or you're looking up Tri-C Parenting or whatever, then you'll get a hit and you'll see it, and then you can subscribe to it. And again, I'm going to try to release these videos, and they're going to be short, you know, they don't have to be super long, you know, it's going to be short and sweet and right to the point. But again, those start on August 1st, and I'll try to do 2 a week.
Oh, brilliant. That is so good. That is so good, guys. Did you hear that? Did you guys hear that? As always, you know, we talk about taking action, on the information so we can get transformation. So today, I want to ask you, what are you going to do today to kickstart this journey of your own transformation? Because we are all here because we want better and greater relationships with our young people. How best to leave a legacy than having, you know, the kid through, you know, the life that you brought through you. And it doesn't have to be just birth parents. I always say that as long as you are relating with the kid, for that moment, you are their parent because you are giving life to them for that moment. So think about what can you, you know, what life are you giving at that moment? And you guys, I want you to go out and search and see Dr. Reese, you know, like Dr. Brian Reese, does the website say www.drbrianreese?
That's it.
Oh, so yeah, so I'm correct. So it's www.dr, so that's Dr. Brian, so B-R-I-A-N, and then it's Reese, R-E-E-S.com, yeah, thank right? And the reason I'm saying it like this, because I know some of you just listening to this may just be listening on audio, so that this can, and it's important for us to get this information. So when we have a Merlin, we can actually go onto the website and click. And then look out for Tri-C Parenting. And as Dr. Brian said, starting August 1st, you said, you're going to be having these, you know, these short, oh, we love short and quick ones and sweet, you know, we love those, you know, information packed,
right,
short videos, right? Say, and then grab as much information as you can, but more importantly, make sure to put that into action. Now, Dr. Brian Reese, have you got any sort of ending notes that you can share with us? Something we know, possibly, you know, something you want us to remember for the rest of this week, all of us.
I think probably the most important thing, and something that I see in my practice with parents more than anything, mm-hmm. is the frustration part. If you can really dedicate yourself to not letting your frustration come out. Mm-hmm. Also, too, if you can be consistent, you know, those are the two parts of parenting that I see sabotage good parenting more than anything, is frustrated, consistently frustrated parents and parents that are inconsistent. So if there's two things that you can really work on is, you know, instead of lashing out at your kids or speaking harshly or being shaming or critical or condescending, you know, start with a conversation. Again, your kid knows that your expectations are reasonable and fair. And so by you requiring your child to meet those expectations, you're not doing anything wrong and your kid knows it. Okay. So always remember that. And then also too, once you start implementing the consistency in this, then parenting gets a million times easier. And I know that we are all into easier parenting. So I'll leave you with that. How about that?
Absolutely fantastic, guys. Let's drop the frustration and also start the conversation. So what I heard is drop the frustration, start the conversation, and let's be consistent. I am so, so delighted to have you today, Dr. Brian Reese. And you guys, let's do this. Why? Because we all want to raise highly effective teenagers without losing our minds. So from all of us here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, we're going to say bye for now. And we will see you in our next episode. And we're going to say bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. You were great.
Thank you.